Checking the mic.
Checking the mics.
Fuck you, Briar. I know you're just mouthing your words. I can see that. You don't have proper inflection going. You don't move your mouth that much when you speak, boy. Briar looking like a foreign film. Can translate it over.
All right. Should be all up and running.
Ryan's editing the audio this week, so he can deal with it. Pat, where's the face cam? It's on top of my computer, not working on this one, and I'm too lazy to go put it on the webcam over there because I have to disconnect another microphone. It's entirely too much work for the amount of energy that I have right now.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a case of lazy bones.
Yep. Yep.
Well, we're gonna go ahead and give Patrick an image here.
Okay, I pre-approved all these images.
Give him a face, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pre-approved all of these images.
Yes, that is
beautiful.
Perfect.
Well, you're showing a lot of skin.
Mm.
It's really hot.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a low cut.
Definitely hot. Like you might be sunburnt, actually.
Oh. Hello and welcome to the 54th Planet Destiny podcast. There's a lot to talk about today. I don't want to immediately start getting into the kind of rough stuff. So first off, hey, everyone that's been wanting to buy a Planet Destiny t-shirt, we got a store now.
That's true.
There's a store now. So the link is somewhere. If you're on our YouTube page, at like the top of it, there's like a little link that goes to the store, and you can get some t-shirts, some coffee mugs, some hoodies.
I like the mug. The mug is happening.
The mug is awesome. Yeah. I'm getting the mug for sure.
I'm definitely getting the mug.
Probably a hoodie as well.
If you guys are noticing that I have changed my appearance,
looks the same.
I don't
to me.
Even know what the actual picture is for me right now, but it's truly an accurate representation.
I mean, I think you're in the same location where you're at right now. Just saying, like you might, like you're not far
geographically
from it.
Is this how you guys actually like see me? Is this how you guys actually saw me before? Like you saw my face
before you live streamed. This is the image that I had of you.
That's fair.
I mean, it's really not that far off, though. I mean, it's granted it's you in like 30
cousin.
Years, but
yeah,
20 years maybe.
Cousin,
10.
Uncle.
Okay, 10
All
years.
In the universe where there was a bit of inbreeding. Anyway, feathers. The feathers and jimmies have been rustled.
A lot of jimmy rustling.
We know about the new event. I think a while back we were like, hey, if there's a new event that's going to be coming, it's probably going to be a Valentine's Day event.
Unsurprising, I think. We knew it was going to be about the same kind of thing that we saw with Festival of the Lost. Actually, this one includes a new Crucible mode, which I found a little bit surprising. That's something to check out, a doubles mode. We don't really know what the details of the doubles mode are going to be, but Crimson Days is going to be, you know, a Valentine's kind of day event that you compete in the Crimson doubles matchmaking with a friend. It sounds to me like it's going to be better than Festival of the Lost.
You think?
Yeah, because there is a, you know, an actual gameplay component to it as opposed to just running around the tower.
Well, no, okay, hold on. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Festival of the Lost was also a Crucible, like, you know, you put your mask on and you go kill in the Crucible and you collect candy.
To be fair, though, you could complete it in PvE activities too.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. That is true.
You can compete it in. You can complete the activity anywhere.
I think my biggest thing is, are they going to do something different other than every kill you get fills up your, you know, you get those sweet scrolls or whatever, you know? Like, is it
your
going to be
bar?
Like... you going to max out your love bar and then you have to give it to Eris Morn or something? Huh? Sorry.
Not this again.
Sorry. I didn't mean to go down that path already.
This.
Okay. Don't let Pope Bear talk. Because you know he's going to double down on anything like that. Anyways, I just hope it's something a little bit more than
that's,
like Crimson
that's
Doubles.
I think that's all it's going to be. I think
you really?
It's going to be you're going to run around the tower. You're going to get letters of some sort from each of the vendors. Maybe there'll be little gifts. Maybe there'll be like little quests for you to complete. But the bulk of this is going to be actually competing in this doubles event.
Right. Yeah.
Which I'm excited about because I like the doubles playlist that we've seen in the past. And there, you know, there's all sorts of different ways they could go. It's like maybe everybody's got to use the same type of weapon. Like both of you, both players on your team have to use, you know, pulse rifles or, you know, something like that.
I feel like what they could do, like a capture the Valentine, and they essentially just replace the salvage point with a Valentine or something. I feel like that's going to be Crimson Doubles. I want it to be really interesting. I don't know. But I'm not like, I'm not holding out for something that's going to be like, whoa.
It's gonna have matchmaking, and it's going to match me with someone of the opposite gender within like a mile radius of me that is also single on this holiday. And then we can hit it off and we can go to like the local restaurant.
So you want adult friend finder on Destiny? What?
Guardians
or Match.com. Doesn't have to be
GuardiansMeet.com? Okay.
Yeah.
GuardianMeet.com.
That's a whole next level LFG right there.
Yeah. That's an option in the LFG.
That is some awesome LFG.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Gonna have to add a new category to the LFG key party.
Right?
Crota's End, what? King's Fall, yep. King Barton.
Maybe, that's right. Maybe you have to wear the same shader going in.
That'd be cool.
And that's, you know, you link up your love.
Motions, just one of the guys in chat who posts quite a bit on Planet Destiny just had a really cool idea. What if the health pools are shared?
Whoa, that's a really cool idea. That's insane.
That is a really good idea, actually.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So would you start off, I mean, in your using your idea, Patrick, would you start off with like small things like maybe, you know, the daily or, you know, just a mission or two, and then you'd work your way up to maybe a weekly nightfall or
no,
maybe,
fuck that. If she can't do a doubles trial care with no ambient side on her.
You want nothing to do with her?
Yeah, no.
All right.
She's saying you might eventually experience Crota's End, you know.
Oh, mm-hmm. Too far.
I don't know. Well, you might want to do some low level raids, you know, low light raids, right? That's what you're saying, right? And you know, maybe that you don't have to be 320, and then maybe you work your way to the King's Fall.
Yeah,
and you beat up orcs together. It'll
I have my standards pope.
All right,
I have chosen my path. So yeah, Crimson Doubles new game mode coming.
Yes.
It doesn't look like there's anything coming to the event that's going to be like PvE related, and I'm really hoping that of the new content that we see coming, or like the content the live team is doing, I'm really hoping that we get to see some PvE related stuff, because right now there's just not a lot that's been coming out for them.
PvE is dried up right now.
Yeah, it's really dried up. I mean, I think challenge modes were kind of the last thing that PvE really had, and that's just kind of tacking on something that was already, you know, it's doing the current fights in a slightly different way. Okay, cool.
I doubt we're going to see that without some kind of an expansion or DLC, though. You know, that's big work making new levels, you know, making new missions, strikes, not to mention a raid.
Mm-hmm.
What we might see out of this is have some kind of, you know, bounties that require you to go out and accomplish certain tasks in patrol or in missions. But in the past, with Festival of the Lost and even the Sparrow Racing League quest line that you got through Amanda Holiday, it was pretty basic stuff. You know, you just had to run a mission or something, and you'd basically complete it automatically.
Even though I am a primary PvP player, the game is kind of catering more towards that for the long-term content than PvE, which is unfortunate for everyone that likes to play PvE. It's frustrating.
I think it's harder and more time-intensive and more costly to develop PvE content.
Oh, it absolutely is. And a lot of the times, it's not going to have the same amount of replayability that PvP content has. So it makes sense that a lot of the content comes out is PvP.
We were talking about how we'd like to see nightfalls with custom modifiers. You know, adding more nightfall-like modifiers to different missions, different raids, stuff like that, I think would really increase the playability. You know, that's something that a live team could do.
I don't know. I think it would be cool for nightfalls to have, like, in World of Warcraft, there were challenge modes where there were these specific versions of dungeons or strikes that you could run that your gear got downgraded to, like, the bare minimum level to do it. So
it was like you couldn't have like absolute best in slot gear. Everyone was kind of on the same playing field for the most part. And then there were different tiers of rewards you could get based on the time that you completed it. So there was bronze, silver, and gold. And if you got bronze tier, like you got a title, silver tier, you got a mount, and then gold tier, you got a piece of armor. And you had to do it for all the strikes. But it would be really cool if in like the Nightfall, there was something like that too. Where, I mean, I think that would increase the replayability of the Nightfall instead of just a thing that you ran to get to, you know, get your stupid ghost shell every week.
Like a maybe, challenge mode almost for Nightfall?
Maybe like challenge mode for Nightfall. Maybe make it based on time. Maybe make the fights have some sort of thing. Increase the replayability for the Nightfall as well.
If we could get another tier of Nightfall rewards, so, and that also excluded any ghost shells dropping, because what the hell, then I would, I'd be really happy about that. Like if it was like, to complete the Nightfall with less than 300 light level or something like that. I don't know. It'd be great. Another tier. But you are right. It does. They are going to have to do something with the PvE content. I do wonder, though, how many people may have picked up the game or Taken King, say, in Christmas, and are just now getting to the point where they could raid. You know, like right now. Now they can start raiding because they've been working through their leveling and all that. Because obviously they don't have time to invest in it every day, like we do. So at this point they'd be getting into the raid, and they're still doing that PvE content. Like we don't have access to the numbers to see how many people are playing that. We're on the bleeding edge, so we burn through the content really fast. And it does make me wonder how many other people are still experiencing the PvE content that is available.
It's got to be hard to be a new player too. Like all your friends got you to buy the game, and then you come in as a new player, they're already sick of running all this stuff, so they don't want to play with you. Like
that would be,
you
know, difficult.
With Dark Below last year, I bet it was a little bit easier. You get the game, your friends are all excited because they're, you know, just starting the Dark Below content. Everybody's really excited for the game. This year, you know, it's been 4 months.
Yeah, absolutely. You, right.
Speaking of the whole it's been 4 months thing, this time last year, Dark Below had come out and there were entire new weapons on the vendors.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Necrochasm was around the corner, too, from dropping.
Yeah, yeah, Necrochasm is just now starting to drop. Can we please update the vendors? I'm going to start saying that every single podcast until it happens or something. Not that, you know, me saying it would do anything, but at this point, like, come on. Can we get some new weapons or just at least new roles on said weapons? That would be... Mm-hmm. That would be nice to see.
I'd be happy with just new roles. That would be nice. Yeah. You know, because I buy Engrams from the Cryptarch. Just hoping for good stuff. But that's about it. Sir.
I know with my son, we bought the Dead Orbit Scout Rifle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hung Jury?
Mm-hmm.
It's a killer role. Check it out.
It's a killer role. I think that there's still the new players that are coming in that... I mean, I guess it could... update and they wouldn't know the difference, but yeah, I agree. Vendors should be updated.
Pat's right though. Like it was 4 months and then we had a vendor refresh and then it was from that till May, right?
Yeah, that was a longer refresh. Wait.
Yeah, that was definitely a longer wait. I think every, like, if they're not going to refresh the skins or the actual designs, I feel like every month to 2 months they should refresh the roles at least.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, it needs to happen every week. Nah, I like that'd the consistency of being able to like recommend a weapon to someone.
Also, you could have a tough time getting your marks. And you'd be like, oh, I really want to buy this roll before it goes away, and then the week refreshes, and then you're screwed on that roll.
Oh, I'm getting good at farming marks, man.
It's nice to have it available to you in with Trials of Osiris. I mean, how many do you get? Like,
you get a ton.
It's almost 90.
You get 150.
You
get
150.
Wow. You get all three characters.
150, it's just, that's a weapon, right? Every week.
Mm-hmm. That's a weapon every week. If you do the two daily, like the story mission and the PvP thing every day, that'll be 30 marks total there. The weekly PvP thing, that is like, I think that equates out to 30 marks, I think. 30 marks, something like that. Then the weekly thing, that's another 30 marks there, so...
on Tuesday, you're just on Tuesday, you're looking at like 90-ish marks that you can get just from completing activities.
But the fact is, when you buy that special engram, we know what you're going to get. It's Jabberhockey or Next Big Thing.
It's the Jabberhockey for me. Over mm-hmm. and over and no over again.
No.
Actually, you know what? I tweeted at I think I tweeted at Patrick 2,000 yard stares that I got this week. Or did
yeah,
I?
No, oh, so. God. Two?
Yeah. No, no, you did. Yeah. You did.
I did.
Like since Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I have gotten 1,000 yard stare this week.
Congratulations.
Out of the 6 special weapon engrams I have turned in. But, you know, it's progress, man. It's progress. It's progress.
Well, what I'm really excited about is my my collection of Vanguard ghost shells. I feel like I
me too.
I feel like I'm getting a really good handle on all these different ghost shells, and it's giving me a chance to collect them all. I feel like it's Pokemon, you know.
Got to catch them all, yeah.
Right. And you get Glimmer for different, you know, classes, so you can, mm-hmm. you know, when fighting the Vex and when fighting. So it feels like it's a game within a game, you know. Will I get the Vanguard ghost shell that I really want?
It's the thanks for playing parting gift whenever you do the Nightfall.
Right. I don't, like, I don't actually, I hope it. For, I don't want an exotic or, you know, even three of coins, stretch or drop or strange coins or anything like that. I really hope for a different Vanguard ghost shell every time. They're really not that hard to rank up too. So you just drop it in and you get 5 legendary marks.
Great. Did you guys see the thing I was on Reddit? It's like guide to how to do the Nightfall in under a minute. It's just the dude just loading into the tower, going to the Vanguard vendor, buying a ghost shell, and then just
that's freaking awesome.
It's like, yep, that is accurate.
So we got some Iron Banner information. Iron Banner's coming out at the end of this month.
Yep.
And they're changing up the game mode.
I am super excited about it.
I feel like you fall into either one of two camps with Rift. You either love it or you hate it. And I feel like a lot of that depends on, do you play with a group when you play Crucible a lot? Because Rift sucks playing solo. Like, it's just
great.
Not fun.
It's great, especially for Iron Banner, because if you're playing with a group, Iron Banner is a grind to get that first character up to 5. Well, with a team, you're going to be mercy ruling back, you know, every team, right? You're going to be the games are going to be down to less than 2 minutes, and you'll flip to. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
you spend more time in queue than you are in
right. Game. So you're going to be, as far as I'm concerned, I'm excited about Iron Banner being Rift because we're going to get to rank 5 within in half the time.
What I hope is that people who go in solo get matched up against other solo players. Obviously, that's usually not the case. I also hope that we get some better connections, even though that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Because every time Iron Banner usually rolls around, it usually exemplifies the problems that you get with the connections in there. So I'm excited to play Rift. I think it's great to see that in Iron Banner, and it definitely kindles some like, ooh, yeah, some mojo. Go in there and play it. But I am worried about the first day getting through them being like, oh my God, why am I playing this?
Yep. So, see, for me, I absolutely adore Rift, but I am usually playing with a team. So it definitely sucks that, like, we go from, like, seeing Clash, which is very friendly to, you know, people that are solo queuing and people that are going in as teams. It's a fairly balanced game mode. In that regard, to Rift, which is highly objective-based, that really rewards, you know, a coordinated team.
That's the fun of it, frankly. That's why Rift is fun. That's why people who like Rift like Rift, is because you have to play coordinated, you have to use communication, and it's high action. It's a high-octane game mode. It does have problems, though. I mean, like, the spawn system in that,
What do you think do you think, so what I was excited for and I was hoping that they would do is do 2 playlists that were, you know, 6v6 objective, 3v3 objective, right? For Iron Banner, just open that up and not just make one Iron Banner playlist where we have to play 6v6. I think that seeing a game mode like, Salvage or Skirmish, you know, as the rotating 3v3s and then the 6v6s. I just feel like there's a lot of players out there that kind of fall into those two categories more than anything else. I play 6v6 or I play 3v3. and that's their play style. And to get more people engaged in Iron Banner, they could do that.
Wasn't it last podcast, Pat, you were talking about making all the Crucible playlists get Iron Banner points?
Yeah, like it just, the normal Crucible playlist turns into Iron Banner, and then Classic playlist is for unpowered.
That'd be great.
Play for that week.
I think that would make a lot of people happy, and a lot of people feel excited to jump in there. Like, you can go into Rumble if you want to play solo. You know, you can go into the 3v3s or the 6v6s. I think that's smart. I think a lot of people enjoy that, and also be able to get their Iron Banner rep without having to go into playing one specific mode, because there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be excited about Rift.
It's going to be so frustrating if you just keep encountering full six-man teams. That is going to be a game mode where you're going to rage quit.
Yeah. I feel like even in Control, like I had probably like a 50% win ratio when I went in solo. But in Rift, I feel like it's going to be lower, because you just need a team to compete well in that.
And I love it. I do too. Rift as a game mode. I think it's a lot of fun. It's something that you can do as a team. And what I'm really hoping for is that they focus on PvP now, right now. You know, right now, this should have already been done. And I don't like them keep posting in the weekly update that it's coming later, some update is coming later. I think they need to be responsive to PvP, because really, that's the only thing that's bringing people into this game right now. What else is there? I mean, how many times do you there's people that still do the raid, you're right, but there's no fresh new content or anything that's happening other than in PvP.
The Nightfall certainly doesn't have the same draw.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've taken away the pop of Nightfall, so the PvE guys are even trying PvP, you know? So I just feel like they should be putting a lot of focus on PvP right now, making it fun and engaging and exciting, and giving us more opportunities to enjoy the game right now. The same old status quo is not good enough. It's just not good enough. And I really want to see something else that's drawing us in, that allows us, just simple things that, you know, that allow us to play the game that we like to play, and giving us options.
I got to get my first taste of Sweaties last night, and we sat in orbit for 40 minutes trying to queue up.
How did the actual games go once you got to play?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was great. Like, I prefer it. I much more prefer knowing the people that I'm killing or getting killed by, so that you can have like a post-mortem afterwards and talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
Those are great. Those are great. Great experiences. And those are also what I loved about Halo. But the fact that we had to go the matchmaking, because it does work, people do it, but there's times where it gets a hiccup because there's too many people in the playlist, and we ended up waiting like roughly 40 minutes and keep on queuing. It's crazy. We want to play this game because it's fun, but like, if those elements are in the way of us continuing to play it.
And if Destiny 2 doesn't fix it, I think we're going to have a lot of upset Destiny players.
I'm worried that this list that we're creating, I'm worried that this list that we're creating of what Destiny 2 will fix,
it's getting a little large.
It's
completely off base from what they're actually doing.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned, and I've been a huge fan of Bungie and a huge fan of the game and the company, and a proponent of them, to the point where people have called me, you know, a lot of things about, you know, whatever. I am to the point where I'm a little frustrated that we are not seeing some basic changes that we deserve in this game right now, that would make it engaging and fun for the community. And it's and it feels like this current game right now, this release, is so on the back burner that, you know, that we're not getting the attention that it deserves right now. And maybe that's just me, but I feel that way.
You feel like Bungie is saying people still play this game?
Yeah, a little bit.
You guys still play Destiny?
A little bit.
Ouch.
I mean, come on. It's like we thought we were told that we were going to get updates sooner, quicker, more often.
Yeah.
Right?
We were told that.
We were told that.
We were also told that heinous lag problems were going to like get people timed out and banned for a little bit. Like temporary bans. Remember that? The people who were...
Yeah.
This was back in October. Like the people who were the most egregious laggers were going to get like filtered out.
Tefty, they realized that that would remove half of their player base, so they just decided not to do it.
They're like, oh my god, the netcode is broken. Everybody lags.
If we do that, half of the people playing this game would be gone.
Everybody's on equal footing now. You all lag like crazy.
Yes, that's how we solve it.
Like deep down inside, I know Bungie is like working really hard. So this is what I've been saying when I stream. I feel like half the company wants to give us like full information and be like, this is what the problems are. This is what we're doing. This is how we're trying to fix them. And then the other half of the company is like, we need to keep quiet about this and like give this marketing technique because it like creates some sort of weird hype and gets the community riled or something like that. I feel like both sides of the company is battling each other, trying to get a information out there or not information. And then they just keep on butting heads and not coming to a conclusion. So we just keep on getting what we get right now, which is this little piecemeal feeding of there's some sort of content and there's things that are broken and we're not going to acknowledge it right now.
We got to talk about skill-based matchmaking. We just got to tap into it.
Let's do it. At this point, it's like, okay, so
did they lie to us?
Let's get the full backstory here.
I mean,
for those that maybe aren't playing Destiny right now because it's
dead. That's a good idea.
All right.
Basically, they premiered, you know, the Sparrow Racing League. Here's this thing coming in. Everyone, aren't you? Yeah, you know, new game mode. Awesome, cool.
I love
patch it. Hit. We download it.
Yep.
We start playing Sparrow Racing. And then, you know, I finished the Sparrow Racing League quest, and I was like, okay, time to go back to PvP, what I actually enjoy doing. It's a shooting game. I want to shoot things. So go back to that. I'm like, wow, okay, this first match was pretty laggy. Like, half the people were lagging. Huh, okay. Better luck next time. And next match is laggy, and the next one, and the next one. And then I'm realizing I'm also playing against people that are like on my same skill level, but are lagging really bad. So long story short, I'm assuming it's in that patch because, well, that's when it seemed to happen. A patch was introduced that changed the matchmaking in Destiny to be more focused on skill-based match, to be more focused on skill rather than on connection. And
meanwhile, Bungie employees who were being asked about this said no. No new systems for SRL matchmaking. Possible that population is concentrated in the single SRL playlist compared to others. So they were responding to our complaints that there was increased lag with, it's probably that the player base has moved over to SRL, so less players in the population means less that the matchmaking can do to get geographically close players together.
Mm-hmm. And the real telltale thing for how just wrong that statement was when Sparrow Racing League was no longer there, and mm-hmm. the lag was
Iron
still
Banner.
Unbelievably it's, apparent.
It's also not just lag. The matchmaking has gotten a lot tougher. It's like every match you get into, you seem to be matched up with people who have your exact KD.
Well, when we went into Iron Banner, because everybody thought, okay, SRL is done. Now it's Iron Banner. It became the laggiest Iron Banner that I've ever experienced.
This was the laggiest
easiest.
One to date.
Easiest.
I feel like we say that every time Iron Banner comes around, but
this one was
unbelievable. Exceptional. It was exceptional.
It was exceptionally bad.
Yeah. It was like the definition of how not to have fun in a game.
Right.
For me. I was like, I can't do
this. So Lars was asked a question in the weekly update, and I'm just going to read it, okay, because it's something that I want to kind of pick apart. One of the bigger complaints we received during year one was that you could get into a very lopsided matches in the Crucible. The long-term solution was always to retool and enter the entire skill matchmaking system under the hood so players would have much closer matches. As some stopgap measures, we added systems like blowout prevention and mercy rule until we could do the real stuff with the Taken King. I'm not happy that their answers are that in order to really put it through its paces, we needed the raw, unbiased data that gave us great results and allowed us to learn how to make it better. I don't think that something like PvP matchmaking is something that you don't tell your community about. They did something similar in Call of Duty, and the community just went apeshit. And then the next day, or like within like 4 or 5 days, they had switched it off. I mean, and you don't tweak the levers behind the scenes because we're some science experiment. It's like getting into a soccer game and all of a sudden they're saying, well, now there's two balls. You know, you just don't change the rules of the game and expect us to just be like, oh, okay, you know, I guess that's okay. It's the same game. I just feel like this was all done ass backwards, and when the community really wanted to know what was going on, right?
They could have said something.
They could have said something. They could have just done what Call of Duty and Vondahar did. It's just been like, hey, guess what? We're trying to get matches closer. I get it. We're going to back it off as soon as we can. The next update is here. These are the unintended consequences. I'm not your guinea pig. I'm not your guinea pig. I completely
agree. Yeah, 100%. Also, raw unbiased data, so you can see how laggy matches can possibly get? Like, you know, it just doesn't make sense that they would.
It pissed me off.
Like, we noticed it. It would be one thing if, like, they're like, hey, we introduced this, and we're like, oh, I guess that can explain why I've been seeing a few more, you know, matches against people that are on my skill level. But, like, it was 100% noticeable pretty much the first time you went into the Crucible. It no longer became unbiased data. It became the community trying to find out what the fuck just happened to the game that we like playing.
That's right.
And
it just goes back to my simple request from them earlier on. Be open, honest, and communicative to your community, and we'll support you all the way. We'll support you all the way. I don't think that they did that here. And
this is coming too right on the heels of everybody saying, but why did you lie to us about the weapon balance update?
Right. And that was a legitimate mistake. I get it.
One could see that as being a legitimate mistake.
Right. Yeah. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
This is being a legitimate mistake. This looks like a lie. Like you were trying to trick us.
Yeah. They became the bad guys as soon as they said,
this is a PR freaking nightmare.
And we tried to experiment, get this data, and you guys immediately noticed it, and then they said nothing, in fact, denied it. And it's like, it's a cardinal sin to commit in game development to do this to your community, because it is literally lying to your community base and saying nothing.
They're better.
Wrong, guys.
They're better than this. They're better than this. That's the thing.
This whole update, you know, aside from we knew that the new content that they were going to talk about, they weren't really going to go into it. I was prepared for that. The one thing I really wanted from this update was, you know, acknowledgement of the game state as far as connections in the Crucible or, you know, talking about the matchmaking. And of course, you know, I got the one thing that I wanted. And in that process, it also just, you know, confirmed the worst possible outcome here.
Briar, we're adding to that list for Destiny 2, all right? At the very freaking top of it, I want that there will be open and clear communication with your community. I understand what they're trying to do is for the good of the game, right? They're trying to give us what we want, which is not blowouts like year one where the matchmaking was all, and they're trying to give us a closer balanced game, and they're trying to give us things that we're asking for in year one, right? That's what they were trying to do. They weren't trying to, you know, mess with us just for the fun of it, right? They don't have malice intent in what they're doing. But they went about it the wrong way. I agree with the ends, but the ends don't justify the means. I'm sorry.
So their justification for it was they're trying to prevent the blowouts that happened in year one. And if anybody who plays online multiplayer games is aware that at some point you either are a part of on the winning side or the losing side of a blowout, because that is what's part of the matchmaking. Like you expect in Call of Duty, it happens in Halo, it happens. And it's weird to try to prevent that, because that's a thing that happens in these games. Like it's like maybe you're worried that people quit the game if they get into a blowout, but then they're not really able to continue playing the game that way if they're going to get too emotionally caught up over a blowout loss, you know? So sure, you get matched up against people of similar skill, But if either one of you have a lag advantage or a latency advantage where you're the host and the other person is 1,000 milliseconds behind the game world, you're going to stomp them because they can't hit you with any of the shots. You literally eat shots, or they're eating shots, and you can't have any of your shots land.
And think about it, Tefty. What other experiences did we find in PvP? Blade Dancers, hit registration sucked.
Oh, my God.
Hammers would explode based on proximity and not hit their targets. And I'm not talking about the nerf. I'm fine with the nerf. But the actual function of them sucked.
I feel like they took out connection-based matchmaking. And it's been now 2 weeks in a row where I've been playing Trials, and the Lighthouse match has been decided over red bar connections. And that really sucks. Because, you know, you take the time, you take about an hour to get up to the Lighthouse, and then you get into a game where these red bar warriors eat shots, and, like, they can't be killed. And
that was one of the everybody's clapping moments of the release of Trials of Osiris, too, was that
right. This
is going to be connection-based matchmaking. And yeah. It's not anymore. They changed that, and I think the Trials of Osiris is worse for it.
I'm literally signing on to do the daily to get my marks, right? Because I'm a whore to the legendary marks, and I got to get them. So I'm signing on to get those, and only for Trials of Osiris. That's it. And this is coming from a guy that played the entire game every week three times over.
It was kind of this bastion outside of these weird connections that we've been getting, where for the most part, I'm getting green bars. Well, this week was kind of it was the first week where I really experienced getting matched against, you know, teams of full yellow bar, full red bar consistently.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to do the No Land Beyond double carry this weekend, and three out of the four runs were ended by, or our mercy got taken away by, you know, a team that was located in Russia or Brazil or United Arab Emirates. And I'm just sitting there going, all these guys on my team are in America because I asked, where are you guys located? Just not to be, you know, a dick, but I just want to know in case we get matched up against a fire team somewhere. And, you know, just that happening is so unbelievably frustrating. And
it really is.
If you guys are listening right now and going, God, these guys, you know, are really bitching and moaning about this, it's because we fucking love this game.
That's right.
Like, these shooting mechanics, this, like, there are so many things. Popping your super, just fucking demolishing something. It's
freaking
so
great
awesome.
Game.
It feels fantastic. You have this wonderful experience on shooting things and this awesome community built around it. And it feels like it's falling the fuck apart every single week. But the underlying thing that's fun is still there. It's just you're trying to reach for it, but it's not there. And it sounds like a drug addiction or something. But, like, still, it's...
Destiny is an addiction, man.
I mean, we play the game every day.
Every day. And you know what? We're experiencing a withdrawal. We paid for the pure stuff, and he gave us crap. And we're upset about it. And as soon as we're done getting, like, you know, as soon as we can find the door and get over to his house, we're going to let him know about it.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. That's a bad analogy.
Honestly, the worst part of all this, though, is that they tucked this in with the SRL event.
Yeah.
That's honestly the worst part, because we were like, SRL, and you could jump in with a full fire team of six, so there was, like, the illusion of private matches happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, you know, and they blamed it on SRL as well, that, like, the matchmaking was different. And then, you know, here we are with the full admittance of it. I feel like that's, it's the icing on the cake. It was, like,
all right, so
shipped in with
where
content.
Do we go from here?
Like, yes.
What does Bungie need to do?
What do they need to
what
do?
What do we want out of Bungie? What do we want to see?
Turn off that skill-based matchmaking.
Yeah.
Like, turn it off completely,
like,
as far as
just
I'm
a mea culpa. Just go...
Connections.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put out a tweet. I said, please, Bungie, turn on, unflip the unfun switch before Iron Banner hits for Rift. Yeah.
Give me the fun back.
I want to play Iron Banner Rift without these crappy connections.
What else can they do to fix it? They can listen to their community. They know where we are. I don't know, man. It's like we're in the dark. It's not a good place to be, and it's at a really bad time where people's spirits are low on the game, and it's more, you know what really pisses me off is that my friends list, all the people that I enjoy playing this game with are gone.
They provided a place where I made a lot of friends, and now that place is kind of gone, right? I mean, it's still there, but it's like it's getting run down and derelict. They also need to start getting everybody on the same page here. Like, if you're going to communicate with the public about Destiny, you need to be on the same page as everybody else who's doing that. They cannot have people giving two different versions of what's happening. They did this with the weapon update, and now they're doing it with the skill-based matchmaking. This is bad for their company. You know, they have a public-facing company that they need to get everybody on the same page.
Again, like Pope was talking about, we can't make them out to be villains because obviously the people at Bungie are not villains and they're not trying to actively screw us because we play this game. Like, that's an illusion that is not the case. I really feel like half the company is conflicted with the other half, where half of it wants to keep it internal because they're trying to figure out what they're doing for the future, and the other half is like, do you hear the community yelling? Like, we legit need to tell them what's going on. And they keep on having a fight, and at the end of the day, or at the end of each day, they end up not resolving it, and so they just stay quiet. I really feel like that's what's going on right now. I know we're on a bitch fest spiral right now. And I think like the thing to keep in mind is that the silver lining of this is how passionate the community is and how we are about it, which definitely says that Destiny is not dead. Because dead means we could care less and we're like, so what? That horse is going to rot and die out in the pasture or whatever. Like,
that Reddit post wouldn't have immediately had like the 2,000 responses in under 30
exactly.
minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Dead meant, you know, every single person on my Twitter feed wasn't blowing up in some form or fashion, whether it be both good or bad. So many companies would give to have this like level of a fan base.
Yeah, exactly. So people out there worrying that the game is officially dead, it's not. It's definitely not dead. There's stuff coming out. It's going to be exciting to see what they come out with, and hopefully they get their internal PR fixed, because apparently it's completely broken and needs to be reworked from the top down or whatever in Bungie.
My excitement for the Valentine's Day event has been crushed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely right.
Like that,
just
that,
like my heart every Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Patrick. I want to be excited about the Valentine's Day. I think the Iron Banner armor is freaking sweet. Love it. Want to get more of it. I can't wait to try out that fusion rifle. I mean, if it's supposed to
really?
Be it's supposed to be one of the few that has a 4-bolt kill.
I got it to draw for me last Iron Banner, and I like it.
Anyway, can we talk about something cool?
No, unfortunately, we got to talk about the Blind Watch Trials map.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Damn it.
GG. Right.
Solid transition.
Woo.
Who enjoyed the Blind Watch?
Raise your hands.
I'm actually raising mine, but you can't see it.
Did you enjoy
it?
One of the Mars maps, it's got an indoor area and a large outdoor area. You'll know it when you see the big kind of upright turbine.
Yeah,
the turbine and the canopy.
Yeah, and the canopy.
And the internal B-point, yeah.
Right.
It used to be kind of one of the most notorious control maps because it was so badly balanced for control.
And oh, it still is.
It still is, but I mean, it was real bad when it first
so it's on a like a map that's considered an attack and defense side, right?
It's the Stormcaller map, by the way, it's the Stormcaller map. When you go and get your Stormcaller, you go on that map,
and so it promotes the way that you are looking down, and the sniper lines and everything about it and the choke points promotes one side being the defenders, right, of their base. Right, if there was an attack and defense base, if this was like capture the flag or something, right? Why the hell would you have a trials map where? I'm sorry, I got to mute myself. Okay,
I see that is one of the reasons why I like the map. It's one of the very few maps that has two entirely different play styles for each spawn. Now, do I think that makes a good map? Absolutely.
But they don't flip the spawns in the middle of the game.
It doesn't make a good map. It doesn't make a good map. But the distinction of it having these two separate playstyles associated with each side is interesting to me. However, that is so unbelievably frustrating to play against, where you spawn on top and then you get a team who you can definitely tell their only strategy has been, I hope we spawn on the defensive side so we can go in this one little room and then camp the ever-loving Christ out of it, because it just also happens to spawn right by the capture zone. It is so frustrating to run into that over and over again. That being said, this is something about the map. I still kind of liked it, but it's one of those maps that it's the ones that I'm like neutral leaning towards dislike. I also am kind of biased on it. I completed the No Land Beyond double carry challenge on this map.
I will say it's got some good sniper lanes. It's got some fun snipes on it that can happen. And if you look for them and you get those, like I had some moments on the map that just felt fun. But the times that we did lose to skill and not lag, it was teams that were very good at holding down that B corridor and just camping like a champ until the flag showed up, which doesn't inspire fun gameplay for equally skilled teams. It's just not.
It's also a map that really heavily favored just passive play from both sides with sniping. Yep. Like, you, even if you spawned on the, you know, quote unquote attacking side, you could just as well sit on top of the canopy or sit on top of wherever and then just put your butt down, crouch with a sniper rifle, and you're set.
Grow a garden.
Yeah, just start growing a garden, get some s'mores, pitch a tent, all the fun things.
I believe a map should represent the game mode, right? They're designed in that way, right?
And I agree.
If we had one bomb or one flag or several other modes that are they're objective-based game modes, that map would have been perfect for it.
They could fix most of it just by switching, flipping spawns every time.
Well, yeah, we've been saying that since the beginning, and they keep giving us this crap that that they're balanced, and they give us these percentages of like, you know, it's 50%, you know, win loss on both sides, so there's no reason to change it. I don't believe that. No way that this is a balanced map.
Taking enough data, of course, it evens out to 50% with a big enough pool because of the skills are wide and varying. And the number of times you spawn on this side versus that side, like the same skilled players are spawning on both sides essentially throughout several tickets. So the fact that they're like taking this data and saying, well, obviously it's balanced. Like, no, come on. You got to look at the teams, like, and the skills, and only spawn them on certain sides and then find out what usually happens with that. Because if you camp in that hallway, you have a very high success rate against an equally skilled team.
Would you guys prefer it go back to the way it was in year one, where we just had a very specific number of Trials of Osiris maps? Or do you guys like this where, yeah, you might run into a map like this week where maybe it's not your favorite, maybe it's unbalanced, but at least it adds variety to Trials of Osiris.
They're flinging shit at the wall and seeing what sticks as far as the community likes it, as far as map selection goes. Because as much as I liked the first year of Trials of Osiris, that map pool was pretty small.
It was pretty
small.
And there
were a lot of other maps I would have really liked to see.
It's fun trying to figure this stuff out. You know, like that first couple or hour or two of Trials of Osiris where you're learning the routes, you're learning the maps, because that's fun. Like, that's my favorite part of Trials of Osiris.
Yeah, me too.
And most of the maps, and I got to hand it to Derek, like how he's setting them up. Most of the maps, there's some element of figuring out how your play style fits into the map. But this is more systemic than that. This map breeds a passive game style for players that are not passive. Like, that is, it doesn't talk about your loadouts or, you know, what, you know, there isn't. It just doesn't go to the place where a PvP player that's trying to be competitive and win games and have fun with their friends and find out what... It doesn't lend itself to that. So it was just a poor selection. Just rotate the spawns. They do it in every competitive game mode that has objective-based game modes. They do it. In Call of Duty, like, they do that. they don't ever have the same team spawn the same place every time for the entire competitive round.
I wonder if that's a limit to the way Destiny is built.
Can't be.
It can't. That seems so.
Can't be that way.
Spawns flip when you go 1 inch over the B mark on Bannerfall. They can make spawns
That's true. All right.
For Trials of Osiris. Come on.
No excuses.
Make
it happen.
I don't know, Briar. I know it's coding's harder than, you know, we always kind of joke around about the community saying, oh, we'll just make it happen. But I don't know.
You know what this means, though?
What?
If they're flinging stuff at the wall, you know that they're going to fling Cathedral of Dusk at us.
Oh, Jesus.
Man, that's going to be the week. I hope that's this week because I'm going to be gone for pretty much the entire weekend. And I don't even want to consider trying to actually run that map.
I think it's just too big to do it.
Cathedral of Dusk?
What's the moon map that's huge that they used to have vehicles on?
Oh, it's not that big.
Blind Watch? First Light.
First Light.
It feels that big. It takes a long time to get across it.
It honestly is pretty close to the same size. Not in total width. Not in total size, but like it's the equivalent. Like it's probably the same. They're probably the same length, but it just doesn't have as much girth. I couldn't think of a word, and I'm tired. I'm sorry. So have fun with that, chat.
You guys want to have some fun and do some Twitter questions?
Yes, please. Hey, but all things being equal, Trials is always a lot of fun. I have a great time with my friends. My son, who's 8 years old, got his Trials carry with Anbu, who backpacked both of us.
Nice.
It was totally cool to take my son to the lighthouse and just having him sit next to me and feel the excitement of a new player who's raw with the game and getting that gear, and you know, it was just a lot of fun. I just wish it was on a map that I feel like would have been more balanced. So
do we have I felt like we had another topic that we wanted to do, but I can't think of what it was. I might just be making that up to you. Sometimes I think I'm forgetting something when I'm leaving the house. @GrandPoppy#. Do you think they added too much RNG? Buying weapons from Cryptarch and not re-rolling and raid drops, etc. So do you guys think there's too much RNG right now in the game?
I think the amount of RNG is fine. They just need to, like, increase the amount of drops, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Like, just that makes sense. Look, I'm fine with like getting these rewards because usually a reward is like, oh, it's an okay roll, it's decent. I'd really just enjoy, you know, oh, I did 5 Crucible matches and I came out with 3 legendaries. Okay, that's cool. Just make that shit rain in all activities, not PvP, not just PvP, just everywhere. It's raining legendaries. You're getting weapons. You're getting armor. Oh, legendary engrams. Yeah, you know, they're just flying out of things, and it's not just armor that's dropping. You know, I love getting those the class item engrams, legendary class item engrams. It's so fantastic. Really. Like cool. I got 3 legendary marks. It doesn't matter. When rerolling was available, the drop chances were so much higher. Crucible was just, you know, it was just flinging drops at you. Iron Banner, flinging drops at you. Now, it's like a barren wasteland, and then you're like, oh, well, I got this thing that's mildly useful. I guess I'll use that, because I can't get anything else.
Yeah, I think, like, it's really close, but they really need to up the weapon drops. Because you get a lot of armor. Like, 80% of the time, it's armor. If they increased it so you started getting weapons, either increased the weapon drops or just rebalanced it so it wasn't as much armor and more on the weapon side, or like even, depending on how far you are along with the game, I think it would be really it'd work out really well right now. Because overall, when you do get the RNG drops, or when they do roll, like I don't mind that RNG right now, or how the raid and the infusement side is going. But the fact that the Vanguard and the Crucible weapons drop so infrequently, it's annoying. Actually, I want that 1,000-yard stare.
I'd like guaranteed chances in a hard mode raid more frequently. Like I don't like how long it took me to get a hard mode helmet and a normal mode helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you'd
probably still be looking
for
it.
What's that?
Even with that, you'd probably still be looking for that helmet if it hadn't been for challenge mode, right?
Yeah, and theoretically, I could still be looking for it because. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a guaranteed drop out of challenge mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first week I did challenge mode, I didn't get any helmets.
Yeah. All right, next question. Jess Brainham at Draco04Warrior. In Destiny, would you like to see more character customization?
I want a beard.
Yeah.
I want to put a beard on my character.
I want to put Defty's beard on my character.
I want Tefty's beard on my character, too.
We were talking about the podcast, and we all came to the conclusion that Tefty's beard is actually the most popular member of the podcast.
That's right.
It goes Tefty's beard and then Tefty.
Then Tefty. Yeah.
It's a monster.
No, we did a poll.
You don't want to hear how it talks to me at night.
we did a poll on this last podcast, and after Tefty's beard, it was actually my dog. So,
Dave at Sneery Crayfish 5, do you see SRL coming back? If so, when?
Yes. I'm gonna say yes, and I'm gonna say during that time between when we have no idea what's coming, and then maybe that content drop, that content patch is supposed to happen at some point after February,
March, yeah, or April. Yeah.
Yep, that looks good to me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely coming back though.
Oh, it's definitely coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ear
they can't.
Hair yeah. Sniper at Recon Sapper. Is Grimoire score going away, or will we get an incentive to raise the score?
Next, I think the next PvE drop will give us some more Grimoire to find.
Well, it has to. But my question back is, what are you expecting from Grimoire? It's just a measure of, it's like you've killed this many things, or you've completed this activity. It's, I don't know. I don't know what the person's really expecting from Grimoire if they're wanting to increase.
It's an EPing thing, I think. You know, usually what it comes down to, more so than you've killed this stuff, is you've gone out and found these ghosts. Because yeah, most people kill all that stuff just by playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the exception of, like, there was like the ogres that were, it took a really long time to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the person, like, is there an incentive? Like, there is no incentive.
The incentive is you can unlock stuff in the Grimoire, which I think is probably one of the biggest failings in the game.
Because I can unlock that with a PDF that I can go download off somewhere on Google.
Well, the
failing is really that it's not in the game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that you don't unlock something in the game. That Grimoire should be in the game, and that would incentivize you to go find those ghosts.
I think that an audio, when you find a Grimoire, it should read it out, and it should be an voice actor, you know.
The rendition. BioShock series did that so wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. They read it to me.
I don't know if you guys have ever played BioShock. I highly suggest you go play it.
Everybody's played BioShock.
Yeah, like the entire BioShock series is one of the most fantastic games. You find these little record player things, you play it, you can go view it again. It gives you, you'll still understand the story by not getting them, but you'll get all these other little tidbits that make you mm-hmm. care about the story. That's
exactly
more.
What the Grimoire is.
It sounds like the Grimoire is.
Yeah. But just the Grimoire is half done. No, do you remember ODST? Remember. How they would do
ODST
video clips? You would find that. But then in Halo 3, there was the terminals. And then you could read the Didax conversations. It would set up what would be Halo 4 and the... It ended up being a lore that we got to read about.
I don't think we want Grimoire score to go away. We just want to see it better integrated into the game. Mike Z at The Leaper, would the crew like to see more weapons in different weapon slots? So I think what he's referring to here is stuff like No Land Beyond and Universal Remote that makes an appearance in a different slot.
I'd like to see lasers.
Yeah.
He said, would you like to see more? He could just stop saying, would you like to see more weapons? Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Would you still like to see more weapon slots? Yes. Brennan at Brennan5830, do you guys think that No Land Beyond Sidearm combo is effective or just for fun?
Hey, I think I can answer this one. Is it effective in the current meta? Yes, it can be effective, but it's basically a much more difficult version of Last Word plus, you know, 1,000-yard stare sniper. That combo is the exact same thing, but better. No Land Beyond the sidearm is
just it's more difficult to use. It's fun to use. It teaches you how to properly engage in a gunfight because you have to judge your distance a lot more. You're going to know where No Land Beyond is going to be better. You know you're gonna know when the sidearm is going to become more effective. You have to know exactly when to judge. Okay, I need to bail, or I can commit to this gunfight. It's a better loadout to use because you're not going to kind of get pulled along by the weapon as much. You really have to rely purely on your gun skill rather than just an automatic hand cannon or a sniper rifle that doesn't have the wonky characteristics of No Land Beyond. So, short answer, no, it's not really a good loadout to use, but it is a fun loadout to use, if that makes any sense.
Clueless Otto, what do you guys think of Rumble?
It is a game mode. You can kill things.
I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. I like the fact that you only can go in there solo. Before, I thought that was lame, but it actually gives you... It's the only game mode where you can ensure the fact that you're not going in with teams and get matched up with...
You can bring in, like, one or two people, can't you?
Only in the classic.
In classic,
only classic Rumble.
Okay.
Yeah, in the current Rumble, you can't. You can only go in solo.
I feel all this pressure that it's 100% on me to win. I have to win this Rumble match. And if I mess up, it's because I really messed up. I can't blame anyone else. I can't blame team. I can't. Oh God, no! This guy is starting to gain up on my lead. Oh God, no! And then I win. Yeah, but it's still like, okay, I played it twice. I'm good. My heart can only take that so much.
I got a sum of all tears the other night on Xbox. But it wasn't really like a legit sum of all tears. People left because I must have had a great connection or something. I was destroying them, and then a couple of members left, and then I got some wall tears, and I was like, "Aw, it's great that I got that." But it wasn't really real.
You should put it up on YouTube anyway. Not say a word out how cheesy it is. Just should have like, saved it out. The gameplay. This is how you get some of all tears.
Did you guys see the it was a video that ran around Twitter?
He chose his engagements very carefully. Ramblin'.
Yeah,
Ramblin'. That's it. That was really cool, man. I got to give that guy props for sure.
A lot of people are going to go, "Oh, your opponents are really bad." It doesn't matter. It's a 1v3 situation. Yeah, if you're going up against, Luminosity and two Luminosity clones, yeah, you're going to get your face kicked in. But a 1v3 scenario is entirely on you. You have to know your character's movement so well. You have to know the map so well. You have to know how your everything is going to work. It's a very difficult thing to do regardless of, if your opponents are a potato or a god.
Yeah, they weren't potatoes either. Like when he got weaker shot, they would push. They tried to pinch him. I mean, they were doing stuff. I mean, they weren't like the best PvP players I've ever seen, but they were playing together, and he was just. I just think it's you just can't take that away from the guy. I mean, that was fun to watch.
Gary Bruce at BruceGX23, what impact can you see the Division having on Destiny?
Competition is always a good thing.
Always.
Yes.
Everybody, all consumers win when there's competition.
Raise your hand if you have pre-ordered The Division.
I'm trying to decide what, ever.
Xbox PS4, One or PS4?
Or PC.
So three of the four of us have pre-ordered it already.
FPS
and
Master Race.
Tefty is just trying to decide where to pre-order it.
I am. I'm trying to decide.
Remember this. The Xbox One gets the beta a day early, and you can always return a pre-order.
Mm-hmm. That's true. What did you guys pre-order on?
Xbox One.
Pope.
PS4.
PS4.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards PS4, just because...
That's probably where I'll be playing, is on PS4, but I pre-ordered it on the Xbox One to get that beta a day early. Right, you can return it before the game comes out.
I got a chance to play the alpha, and it was a fun game. And what do I think that Destiny is how it's going to be affected by the Division? I'm hoping that it challenges them to up their game,
to keep their player base active.
If I could speak about the Division just ever so quickly. There was a lot of footage that came out over the week from just various sources that, you know, got to play early release beta access and stuff. And the one consistent thing that I saw that I did not like was a problem that Destiny had in the very beginning, and that was bullet sponges. Except this game took it to a whole nother level. Everything was a bullet sponge. It was bullet sponge and then bullet wall that you were facing in terms of enemies. So hoping that gets turned down a lot. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play the beta. I want to be I don't want to get disappointed that that's all there's going to be when I play the the retail. I want to just get the disappointment in the retail and the enjoyment at the same time. I don't want to have my enjoyment happen in the beta and then the disappointment
after you've already bought it and can't return the damn thing.
I mean, I'm a streamer. I'm gonna play it regardless. That doesn't like make any I want sense. To play it, you know. But all like right. What I want to do is have the enjoyment of first impression and the disappointment to follow within the same frame of time, as opposed to, wow, this is a great game on the beta, and then, oh my god, this is all there is after the release.
Adam Lowe at TheBossMan21. Do you like max light level is as important as it was in year one? I think he means,
who's max light level?
Max light level is as important as...
Who is this guy?
No, max light level is not as important.
Yeah, it's not. Not in PvP or in PvE. Guardian Cell at Guardian Cell. Year one raid weapons are brought to year two light level. Will it break current PvE content?
It'll really make me, you know, regret going and getting or dismantling my Fatebringer, because even with hand cannon changes and everything, Fatebringer is the best. Outlaw, still be the boss, Firefly, yeah. Hand loaded on a hand cannon. That's all you need.
Atheon's Epilogue.
Corrective Measure.
Vision of Confluence.
Ooh, baby. Can you think of one Vault of Glass gun that was a dud?
The rocket launcher was terrible.
Oh, it was.
It has in Vengeance.
Yeah, that was bad.
Not when it first dropped.
I used the crap out of it. But yeah, I used it. Like, there was nothing good.
Was it bad, Briar, because of rocket launchers being so ridiculously good in year one? If you took the Hezin's Vengeance now and brought it into year two, would it hold its own?
No, Crota's End rocket launcher was even better.
Was it?
Hmm. Yeah, Hezin's Vengeance. All it had were the cluster exploding
bombs. Cluster bombs.
Yeah,
cluster bombs. Yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't have tracking. If you want, if you got cluster bombs, you want tracking to go with it.
Yeah, you put on the bowling ball helmet as a Titan, mm-hmm. and then you go for it.
That's true, but I don't like there using that exotic. It just seems like a waste of an exotic to me.
It looks for ridiculous. Rocket.
I'd rather use Ruin Wings to just fire twice. That's true.
I mean, let's be honest. Rockets really do kind of suck nowadays.
Yeah, they're not big.
I'm glad they do.
There's nothing really useful in the raid. Like, even if you had Galahorn, the only thing that it would be useful for is the War Priest. That's it. Yeah.
Sisters.
Maybe sisters
would like just sisters would just be gone.
Too much health. They have too much health. You'd still have to crit them with like the malice.
Just put a void bow on one of them and you're good.
I mean, we did this technically.
Critting Galahorns. Had you thought about that, Teffy?
Critting
Galahorns.
That's he makes a strong argument.
Black hole on one of the sisters. Six Galahorns.
I mean, Sleeper Simulant is pretty close to the damage when you crit with it. And we already know that it's better to use Touch Malice on a six-man team for the sisters. So, the War Priest is really the only thing that's good, and then maybe Ogres on Orcs.
You know where it'd be good, too, is the Orcs fight. When you're trying to protect that bubble from the Thrall coming in, you can just fire a rocket, forget about it, look for the next set, and then you go into the bubble, and you can just unload Galahorn at the Shade.
But then you wouldn't have your Touch Malice to stagger him.
That's true, man.
Yeah, all right. Hey. you got me thinking, Tefty. You got me thinking.
Galahorn really wouldn't be that great in year two. Just saying.
But the raid weapons were all really good. Krennic at Krennic TV. Would the Crucible be easier to balance or improve if shotguns were removed?
In the context of that question, yes.
Yes, in the context, yes. Would it be fun to remove shotguns? No.
It'd be less interesting.
No, it wouldn't be interesting.
Last words
either.
Would dominate so heavily, it'd be crazy.
Yeah. Like, shotguns, right now, shotguns are in a perfectly fine place. And when I say shotguns, I mean Fellwinner's Lie archetype. If you die to a shotgun, it's usually because you are being overly aggressive, and you're where you shouldn't be. You should have pulled back sooner. And that's like 90% of the time. The other 10% are some questionable kills that usually result from lag.
Jacob Dowell at JD from the IE. Aside from more maps, what changes do you expect to see when SRL returns?
Oh, I think that's a big assumption that more maps, but yeah.
Is it? Stick with the two that they have?
What other changes? Okay, so let's say they give us new maps, right? What other changes? I think that they should. I would like to see is power-ups within the maps. I'd like to see like a Mario Kart type feel to it, where you maybe some of the jumps that they incentivize the skill-based jumps rather than just having them be a shortcut, having them be a skill-based jump to a boost or some sort of advantage that allows you to turn that into a bonus.
You're talking about skill-based jump making?
Yes.
I don't know if Bungie's going to be honest about this with us.
They've not... Damn it, tempting.
I'm sorry. I had to.
So done.
I had to throw that one in there.
That's funny. Skill-based jump making.
You made me choke on that one. That was funny. Pope, I like that. I would like to see different views behind your Sparrow. Let us change that view.
I want to be able to look behind me. I want to look behind me.
Yeah, rear view mirror on your Sparrow.
I want to be able to hit a button.
Side view mirror, like a motorcycle?
Just as you're riding, be able to hit a button and quickly look behind you to see where your competition is.
Neil Patel at NP1257. Should the next raid be more close quarters for more varied loadouts again? This is an interesting question because a lot of the encounters in this raid, I feel like, are dominated by scout rifles and sniper rifles because they're so far away. You know, everything you're shooting is so far away that...
It's so far away because the encounters themselves are designed to be done from very specific places.
Yeah.
So it kind of enforces the whole, you know, you stand in this spot, you're going to end up using a scout rifle to make sure everything dies as far away as possible.
And compare that to Crota's End, where everything had a very claustrophobic feel. You know, you're getting chased by the thrall through the beginning portion. You know, you're fighting those sword knights close range. You know, it's a much more claustrophobic raid.
Yeah. I think they could just design the encounters better to... you know, work around that instead of having to stay in very specific areas.
Amir Rocks at Amir Rocks 777. How do you think we should move our character to Destiny 2? On a USB disk.
Yes. USB. Yes. Porting over your character.
Over the interwebs.
Yes.
Can actually transfer him.
I think what they're going to need to do is they're going to acknowledge that PS3 and Xbox 360 players are going to want to not leave their Guardians behind, and that if they're going to make Destiny 2 new consoles only, I think they're going to need to provide some way of porting over your character to the new game.
As long as I get my Dead Zone Revolution cloak, like I'm going to be cool.
I think the big question that everybody's wondering and wants to know or anticipating is whether or not we're still going to be able to use year one weapons in year three once a whole
Please
new system
no.
has been brought over. Right. I hope not as well. Like, because I don't want to be able to go into regular Crucible where levels are not switched on or we don't have level advantages and then see year one weapons. I think that would just wreck the game right there if they made that happen. But at the same time, I am one of these people that feel like I did earn some of these legendaries and it would be nice to go into a playlist that was like a year one playlist. Kind of like we have right now, classics. But I'd like the classics to have a cap to it, and it's almost like levels of powers enabled. So you have year one power, year two power, or just whatever previous power, and then the current scheme of however the meta is at the moment. So year three weapons are obviously going to be better than year one and year two weapons. You know, so you can't bring them into regular Crucible and feel like, oh, I wasn't there when I got a thorn or whatever, some crap like that. As opposed to canning them completely, you know?
I like what they've done to allow your Crucible a place to play your weapons from your year one weapons. I like that idea. I like that you can continue that trend. And but I think that you have what you're saying. Make the playlist more competitive and level advantages. The ones that have level advantages activated, have those be the year three, right?
What I really want to see is how should your character progress through to year three? You should be able to like switch from Xbox to PlayStation, or PlayStation to Xbox, would console switch like that. I really feel like that would do a lot of good in the community.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like if they're going to do away with year one and year two guns completely, they're going to have to just have it be a totally different place and time. Otherwise, why are the guns gone?
I kind of want to like at least be able to see it in my vault. Be like, I remember this. I have memories with these weapons. So, but I don't want to see them showing up in like year three Crucible, just regular control. Like that would bring a tear to my eye.
Triple Rec was talking about the different studios that take care of Call of Duty, right? Infinity Ward versus Treyarch. You know, I would like to see that something like internally like that. I know we talked about Blue Moon Studios doing some work on Destiny 2. Maybe this game needs a fresh perspective and kind of two studios attacking each other not attacking each other, but taking a different perspective on the game. It'd be nice to see what another approach to Destiny would be.
The Oxman's Ox at Calco Justin. With the next Destiny game coming this year, does it concern you that we have no information on it?
A bit. To say the least. I mean, I want... Like, this whole podcast has been about transparency and the lack of it from Bungie, and then admitting that they technically lied about something, and so the fact that we haven't heard anything about the future definitely affects our viewpoints and affects the community and affects what we talk about it. So
it would surprise me though if we saw anything about Destiny 2 before E3.
Well, okay, with what has happened in the past, yes, it would surprise me. But how a company could actually successfully seed what they're talking about and what they want to bring into the game, they could easily start like giving us a little excitement, like a developer's blog. You know, developers' vlog are fantastic to give a little insight into what they're developing. Like, here's a geometry of a new character that they just built. You know,
or
like,
they can
here's...
tell us that Destiny 2 is coming in September now. That's not going to ruin the surprise at E3. Yeah. They show it off and, like, everybody gets hyped about, oh, look at, like, this new race. Look at all these new enemies you're going to be fighting. Look at all this awesome, like, these new places you'll be exploring.
Yeah.
That's not going to ruin the excitement just to say now that Destiny 2 is expected in September.
A wireframe model of a new weapon. That's coming in Destiny 2. Wow, that's awesome. Let's talk about it.
About Halo with those vid docs. That was great.
Exactly, yeah. Like, in like animations, like GIF animations of how they're making characters and all that. I feel like all of that is like, I feel like Bungie is terrified of that kind of marketing.
I love Comcast at that awesome guy.
Go away.
What is your least and most favorite strike boss in Destiny? So you want
strike boss?
Your favorite and your least favorite.
Omnigul.
Least favorite, Omnigul.
Yeah.
Screw Omnigul.
I don't know. Valus to Arik pre-patch.
Oh, he goes down so easy now.
No, yeah. Pre-patch.
Oh, yeah, but at
even
least
even
you
pre-patch.
Move around his arena with Omnigul. You always had to just like sit
Let me go
and that
about
screaming.
This.
That fucking
the screaming.
Oh, the cackling.
You're right.
Oh my
the
god.
Screaming. Silencer screams. I don't like the fact that this commander, this military genius of the Cabal walks back and forth.
Also, he's shooting bullets inside of his building. He comes out and he's like, it's like, aren't you worried about like destroying your military structure?
No, he's the Cabal, man.
The first time, though, that was cool.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. We're like, are you kidding me with this?
It was cool, but it was also like, wait a minute. You're launching rockets indoors.
Favorite?
I know I'm not going to be a popular guy here, but Skolas.
Wow. Is a strike boss?
I love that it took teamwork to put him down.
That's true.
It did. I'm going to go with Darkblade for my favorite.
Yeah, that's mine
super
too.
Super cool strike, and that guy's
Darkblade
like,
is fantastic.
It's a completely original concept for Destiny, having it like all being pitch black, and I don't know, it almost feels like that should have been in the Dark Below. Like that whole Definitely. Encounter should have been in the Dark Below.
That black level and lack of depth is very like it's hard to code that. So like they got that balance perfect where you're in there, you feel like you can't see anything, and then you see a little bit of a silhouette, and you see Darkblade. It's great. I love
the panic
it.
Panic attack that happens on a regular basis on a nightfall. Yes. On that.
And like, when he's charging, when Alec charges his foes.
And that strike, though, when you add in when you go for the sword quest, right?
Yeah.
The exotic sword quest, and you go in there for the final fight, that is a straight up legit hard fight.
Zero Hellion at Ian Graff. Instead of deleting characters, do you think we should be able to recustomize them? How much glimmer would you pay for it? So I think he's talking about like the barbershop idea where you could basically go in and
how much silver? How much silver would you pay for that? Is that what you asked?
Silver?
Glimmer.
No, I don't
silver, he said, glimmer. Right?
How much glimmer would you pay for it?
Right? Silver?
Nope, glimmer. Oh. How much glimmer would you pay for it?
I'd pay 10,000 glimmer.
I like the idea in Borderlands where you could go in and you could change around your character's how it looks and everything whenever you want.
The kiosk.
I don't need it to be real. Thing. Maybe your ghost is a really good barber. I don't know.
Why we got to pay for it anyway? Yeah. Like, why can't that just be part of the game for free?
Yeah, you unlock it. You know, you unlock a grimoire card of Tefty's beard.
How
many
nice.
People made goofy ass looking characters on day one of Destiny, not having any idea.
I'm stuck with
that's
it.
Right.
They'd still be playing that goofy ass looking character.
I know.
Like right. I forgot what my character looks like, so I'm pretty sure I made him look like a goofy ass fucking robot. And I was like, I'm just gonna wear a helmet from now on.
Yeah, a lot of people were pretty happy when you could start wearing helmets.
How about that? How about all those guys that made the exos with the bird crap on the face? You know, the one that looks like a seagull just took a shit on your face. Like they're like, oh, that's funny. Look at that! It looked like a bird pooped on my face. And then now they're stuck.
I'll be able to change this.
Yeah, I'm gonna be wearing a helmet all the time. And then now they've got like this.
Oh, man.
More customization would be nice too.
Yeah. More and yeah, more customization and beard, like facial hair. They need facial hair.
Yeah, I want tower wear. I want to be able to put on like you know
lounge wear,
like a you know maybe like a smoking jacket. You know, some
walking around the tower looking like you have
a little, maybe a little fedora. You know, maybe like you know, I walk up from Eris Morn up the steps. I want to just be like kind of swaying my way, doing my slow walk with my pimp jacket on and my hat and my cane.
After visiting Eris?
After visiting Eris. No, sorry, not after visiting Eris. Sorry.
Yeah.
She wrong imagery. Sorry. Coming from the garage, you know, after visiting my girl over there, Amanda.
I was going to say, Lakshmi.
What?
Crazy Bacon's at Dink Bacon Strips. How many hours per day/week do you dedicate to Destiny these days?
Recently, I feel like I've been playing Fallout, and I picked up on sale. There was a really quick sale of Second Son. It was like $8. Picked it up, and I've been playing that.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, I finally got around to playing Tomb Raider or Rise of the Tomb Raider. I am loving that game.
That's right. Great. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Booty.
Beautiful booty.
Abyss Walker at Kyle Thompson 43. You think Bungie could detach enough from the past Destiny to move forward into year two? Or do you think they'll try too hard to keep past subclasses and weapons relevant?
Well, that's part of that question that we were talking about. You know, what comes forward? You know, I think it's like a conflict with Bungie, whether or not some people want to bring it forward. Some people, because again, you get these updates where they nerf final round, yet Luck in the Chamber is suddenly like running havoc. You know, it's like, I think it's something. It's like the Bungie development team doesn't know whether or not they want to bring it forward or not. And I can hope that, like I said, what I hope is that I can look at my weapons, maybe use them in a classic playlist. But in year three, they're not going to be relevant at all. Like, they will do half the damage.
Yes. And I would like to see that with subclasses as well.
So you want all new subclasses? Them,
but I would like to see all new subclasses for year three. For Destiny 2.
Update the current ones.
I want a new game for Destiny 2.
Yeah.
a new game, not like here's an expansion with like some stuff added on. Like,
I don't want three more nodes on my subclasses.
I want another, another class, and
fourth character type.
Yeah,
like we're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. But my idea was has been established that I would love it to be like the Arbiter of Halo, where we get a fallen captain that is that we get to learn new attacks and stuff like that, dual wielding, quad wielding swords. Whoosh!
Yes, you know? Please.
I mean, how cool would that be? You'd be like
quad swords,
you'd be like,
quad telestos.
Quad swords, quad telestos. No, there'd be like a limit, you know, and your aim would be totally
no Destiny 2, no limits.
No limits.
your aim would be horrible, right? You'd be like, because you know they don't shoot very well, you know. I don't know.
Tony Avila at SoCal's One Sun. What do you think is, if any, the new G-Horn in terms of hype when it drops? I got to say Black Spindle, because you have to work at that to get it.
This year's Gjallarhorn? Is that what he's asking?
He's asking more in terms of hype when it drops.
Oh,
everybody
got super excited when they got
their first Gjallarhorn. What are people getting excited for now?
I think people would get excited over some of the gunsmith weapons more if they weren't time-gated. Right? It's a sort... That's sort of anticlimactic. Like, I mean, the Talaylock, I love that gun, man. I think it's awesome. It just came to me kind of anticlimactically. You know, I had to wait so many weeks and like stuff. But I'm with you, though. Black Spindle was the one that I was like, fist pump. Yes, I got it.
Yeah.
I don't think I have one, to be honest.
For me, there honestly isn't one. Nothing elicits that "oh shit" response that Gjallarhorn would.
Yeah,
Not even
and
a thousand yard stare.
It's a little anticlimactic because we had the Black Hammer, right? And it's basically a carbon copy. But I just like the way you get it and how powerful it is.
Oh yeah. The way you get it's fantastic.
I will say, for people that are year two players and that like the Crucible, I legit think that they're buying Legacy Engrams, and when the Thorn drops, they're freaking out.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm so glad that they can get him.
A high roll,
that.
1,000 yard stare too. That's a pretty big, big deal.
You know, I'm too tired to even care right now.
Mason Torres at MTTaz38. What do you guys think about our own social space / home besides the tower?
Like a house you can customize, like
I think that's what he means. Yeah.
All right.
Like you lease out an apartment in the tower?
I sublet. You know.
Yeah.
Sublet control.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it's all bought up, so you only sublet at this point.
I couldn't care less about this unless it has a gameplay advantage. I don't want my own social space. I don't want to be moving couches and books.
I would like. I would
space
like.
In Destiny.
Honestly, I would like a place where it's kind of like where your clan. Like a tower that maybe you could hang your clan banners in.
Your clan hub?
Uh-huh. Or a faction hub, maybe. I don't know.
Or, you know, how about a place that you go to and then you can see who's online in your clan? You know?
And then
that would be really great. You know? Yeah, maybe send an invite over there. Wow. That'd be legendary.
It would be,
what would be really cool if that space was also larger than 16 players. So then, you know, you could
your
actually
your whole clan
have,
could fit in there?
Like a tower. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, this is the tower. This is where all the guardians go. All 16 of them.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got it. You know what they do? They make a iOS mobile game called Tower Hub.
Okay.
And you have to keep on making your tower. You have to get advances in your tower, and you can convert your legendary marks to tower goodies on your phone. You see, and there's in-app purchases as well to accelerate the process.
Activision did buy King Games, the guys that made Candy Crush.
Yes,
so they did. I was joking.
A possibility, man.
I was joking. 100%.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, sounds like an awful idea.
That's happening.
No, dude, it's gonna happen.
Josh Coria at Josh F. Coria. To keep things fresh, what new dynamic would you suggest in the next raid? All right, so I would like to see a chase scene. I've talked about that a ton of times. I would love to see a tower defense, like some kind of tower defense thing where you...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Maybe you are defender of the last city and you got to sit there with six of your friends and fight off, you know, like this massive onslaught of Fallen.
Let it burn. They don't even let Guardians down in there.
I'd love to see I'd love to see something that involves a chase mode like you're talking about, but with it, a two-person vehicle. Two- or three-person vehicle, like a Warthog or, you know, the Revenant Puma. From Reach, where you have a gunner and a passenger and maybe objective game modes where you're capturing something and pulling it back. But, yeah, I would love to see vehicles that you could have multiple players in.
Remember when we were talking about patrols being able to match up with other patrol groups that were trying to get an objective done? Mm-hmm. So this might be crazy and not doable, but if there was a thing where it matched you with other raid teams and there was like a big raid happening, so you go in, you begin it, you're in a six-man team, and then you get to like a hub of a giant thing that's trying to be taken over, and there's like maybe another raid team or two other raid teams, and you're trying to take down the objective, kind of like you do when the tank is in the Divide on Earth, and there was it linked up in those kind of raids. And then after you complete that objective, you move on to the next part, which is just six man. That would be really interesting.
So you could have like 18 players all team up to fight this one part.
Wouldn't that be sick?
That would be sick.
Wow, that'd be...
In the early days of Vault of Glass, have you ever been on patrol in Venus? And then there's a team trying to struggle to open up the door, and you're like, I'm going to help them. And they're like all stoked that you're helping them because it's hard, you know, your low light level. That was fun.
Those are great. Those are great. They actually forged a lot of Sherpas.
Yeah.
You know, like it like sparked the beginning of helping people when you could help somebody open the door or help a team open the door.
Angel. you guys being high end players, do you get a lot of backlash from average players?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
goes in the territory.
Yeah, I think because you're not really a high end player though, Briar. You just play a lot.
Okay.
I'm just come on. Don't let me do that.
I don't really get backlash.
The term is filthy casual, Pope.
I'm Briar kicks my ass. You should see him play. He's actually really good. Over the year, I think I started out a lot more limited in my thoughts, and because of the community communicating to us and through the not so nice sometimes comments in our YouTube videos. I've learned to express and open up my perspective.
Nice. I think for me, I've always, like, whenever I've done weapon reviews, I've always tried to approach it from the viewpoint of somebody getting the game and then getting the weapon for maybe the first time. Because usually people who already are extremely knowledgeable know most of the things you're going to say in a weapon review. So I've always tried to approach things from a, like, well, what if I didn't know about this game and I really needed to, and I really just genuinely want knowledge. So...
Tom Coppins at Tom201288. How do you guys like eggs in the morning?
Over medium.
In a gluten-free biscuit with some bacon?
Gluten-free biscuit with some
and
bacon.
And some bacon, you know, just like a little egg sandwich.
I like mine Benedict style.
Benedict!
Hollandaise
oh,
sauce.
Oh, so good.
Fancy.
I like it. Coddled in 50-degree water for 3 hours until it's formed into a gelatinous blob served over an English muffin with a nice cranberry-type reduction sauce. Then put that over a filet of duck breast that's been sautéed in garlic and onions until it's got a crispy skin and perfectly...
You ever had eggs on a burger?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yes!
Delicious. Fantastic.
Yes.
Pedro Meza... at Pete_GDL23, when can we expect a target shader so I can play as Patrick?
Just call New Monarchy, bro.
Yeah,
just go do that. I mean, you can get the best shader that you want, but the only time that you're ever gonna, you know, have a true target experience is to completely lose your soul by working in retail.
So when we when Halo 4 was dropping, you could get armor specifics by pre-ordering it from Best Buy, Amazon, and one of them was Target. Mm-hmm. And so the armor shader that you it was an armor set actually that you could get was a red and white with a big ass like target.
On it.
And I always thought that that was amazingly bad decision from a design standpoint for like, what does my armor look like? You know what? I'm going to put a big target on my armor just in case they can't see me. But anyway, that makes me laugh about it.
Tommy Boy at Tommy Callahan. What would be the best PvP setup for the more sweaty games? Lay it out. Class, Thorn. Subclass, and weapons.
It's called Sunsinger, Thorn, Shotgun. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that you see, it's like...
That's it's it. Either that or a Night Stalker on her.
Yeah, that or last Night Stalker,
so that you can like counter the bolt grenades. And then still you're running Thorn and a Shotgun, so you know, grats on that weapon variety. I don't sweat enough to really...
Shade Step Shotty's become a viable... You're seeing a lot more people get good at it, and it's a formidable competition. So set up. So I think that a lot of people are insert Thorn, Shotgun, you know, Shade Step.
Yeah. Something that that's happening with the game that I don't even think is avoidable. I think it's always going to be a case is that the higher up the pyramid of skill, the narrower the weapons get. And there's literally nothing that they can do because of the way the game is set up right now with the way the skill is. So they can try to even out time to kills with guns, but ultimately there's going to be a handful of weapons that are the choice weapons to use.
Mm-hmm.
That'll probably always be the case unless they just make so many generic weapons kind of the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like what we have right now, honestly. There's a lot of really generic choices as far as legendary goes, and then there's the reason like Mida, Thorn, Last Word are good is because they're just, well, Mida is just an actual good baseline weapon.
I mean, it excels
over
advantage.
All the kind of mediocre crap that's out there, and then Last Word and Thorn actually have really exceptional uses, really specific exceptional uses, which is why they get played so much.
Yeah. Also, the time to kill, like the longer the time to kill, the harder it is to make all weapons usable. The shorter the time to kill, you know, when weapons become one or two shots, then you can have tons of them. Yeah. So.
All right, last question. Banjo Frognuts at Banjo Frognuts.
Banjo Frognuts.
Why do you guys obsess over beards when they all fail in comparison to Pope's butt chin?
Destiny 2, I need a butt chin. I better be able to make one of my characters with a butt chin, please.
This is a dignified chin. This is dignified. It's not a butt
chin.
That's
the first thing that comes to my mind when I see it. Dignified.
Yes.
Dignity.
It's dignified. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I have to let me. I sense we're getting towards the end, so I'm just going to say something. You know, this podcast being so close to the weekly update, you get a visceral response from me. And you know, tomorrow I wake up, I may be more measured in my response, but still as passionate. And I feel like you guys saw me tonight, kind of lose it a little bit, but I feel like. That that's the raw emotion, and I hope you guys understand that. So, anyway, I needed to clarify that. It just feels like I went on a rant, and I don't like this to be just a negative thing. That's all.
It's our first reaction, you know. I know. We were pissed.
Exactly. Whatever. All
right.
Was that the last of the questions, actually, Vera?
That was it. Yeah. That was the last one. Save the best for last.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing that they could have done unless they announced Destiny 2 in that update. We would have been like, what the hell, rip them apart. You know, unfortunately, they admitted to lying to us, so we had to rip them a new one for that. But, you know, I think the future is always brighter once you've gone through a dark period, so.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, guys, that was the 54th Planet Destiny podcast. I'm sorry I sound so tired. It's because I've actually been... not sleeping and I'm tired. It's it's strange how that can happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get some sleep, man.
Are we gonna end this? Are we
yeah,
done?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you guys know where to find me. PlanetDestiny.com. My name's Patrick Casey and Holtzman. I do stuff, videos, Twitch streaming. You can find all the links there.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me on YouTube at the Briar Rabbit channel, or on Twitter at the Briar Rabbit, or streaming right here on Planet Destiny's Twitch page.
I'm Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. That's twitter.com/Teft. And you can catch the streams that I do for Planet Destiny, twitch.tv/Planet_Destiny, and my own personal Twitch channel as well, twitch.tv/Tefty Teft.
And this has been Pope Bear. You can always find me and talk to me throughout the week on Twitter at Pope Bear, and streaming on the Planet Destiny live stream. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, on Saturday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Red Bull twitch.tv/Red Bull Esports, Imtash and I will be live shoutcasting the Red Bull Clash Course Finals. Yeah. You guys should tune in because I want to see some Planet Destiny hype in the chat there.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Later, guys.